Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. Every day on Basic Gospel, you hear the Word of God revealing true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. We're live right now, on the air and online, so you can be on the air or online and pose your question or your particular issue. The number wide open, 844-32-BASIC. If you have a question or need direction for the tough issues of real life, call now. Again, that's 844-32-BASIC or 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel. And now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Basic Gospel is here to help you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. And part of this good news, or really the heart and soul of this good news, is contained in the new covenant. I mean, Jesus' death ushered in a new covenant, and within that new covenant are four promises, just significant promises to our day-to-day lives. A promise that God is going to write his laws on our hearts and in our minds. A promise of assurance that we are God's people. A promise of relationship that we will all know God from the least of us to the greatest of us. And that's an internal, heartfelt knowledge of God, and that our sins have been forgiven once and for all, and that he remembers them no more. Those are incredible promises, but we have to ask a question: who can guarantee such incredible promises? And that gets us right back to our subject matter this month, the deity of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? And Richard, you were a very big part of putting together our Bible study guide, The New Covenant Journey, the first in our Basic Gospel Study series, a series that helps connect you to the love of Jesus Christ. And in doing some research, you did a Google search just on the name Jesus. Yeah. And how many hits came up, or how many?
Millions and millions and millions of them.
Looking at the book right now, I think it was over 200 million hits.
Yes.
Links came up just on Jesus. And some of them were ridiculous, costumes, and others were, websites.
Yeah. Lewd,
to
awful
debase
stuff.
Jesus. Yeah. And then there were many just praising our Lord and Savior. But over 200 million hits came back or in that particular search. It just shows the importance of Jesus. I mean, he's still trending today as he was 2,000 years ago. Yeah. It's just quite miraculous. But who is this Jesus? What do we know about him? The gospel accounts really tell us his story.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a mother and father. Joseph and Mary, the Word of God is very clear about that. It's very clear that Joseph was not the biological father.
Yes.
He was just the father that raised him. But Mary was the mother. She was the virgin that conceived Jesus as a result of the work of God's Spirit. So Jesus came into this world born of a virgin, the mother Mary. He was born in the town of Bethlehem. He was born at a specific time in history.
Mm-hmm.
Augustus Caesar was ruling the Roman Empire. We know when that was. Herod was in charge of Israel. He was the king of Israel at that time. So we have all this historical evidence about Jesus. He's not this fictitious person that folks have made up. He was real. He had flesh and blood. He became one of us. He walked the earth for 30-something years. He died at a particular time as well. Pilate was the governor of Israel at that time, and we know when he served. We have historical evidence about that. So Jesus was a real person, and then he made many claims about himself, and that's what distinguishes Jesus from all other human beings, is his claims about himself. And you have to pay attention to what he said. He claimed that he and the Father were one. He claimed that before Abraham was, that he said, "I am."
Yeah.
He claimed to exist before Abraham did. That's quite a preposterous claim, isn't it?
It's either true or it isn't.
Yes.
There's no middle ground.
And all of that evidence points to the fact that Jesus is God. And that's what the New Testament writers concluded. And as we examine the evidence, we either agree with that or we disagree. And if we disagree, we have to come along, come on the side that Jesus was really a lunatic or a liar. There's no other options there. He truly was the Son of God, or he was a liar or a lunatic. C.S. Lewis put that to us. And that's those are the options that we have. So who do you say that he is? Who do you say that this Jesus is? It means everything to your day-to-day existence.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody, and the lines are wide open right now at 844-32-BASIC. 844-32-BASIC, as we've said so many times, we're here on the air live so that you can participate in the broadcast and pose your question or your particular issue. So give us a call. Lines are open right now, 844-32-BASIC. Did have a question from Ron, guys, concerning Hebrews 4:15. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." Ron's question is, what is the meaning of that, and how is Jesus tempted yet perfect?
Well, we see his temptations in the fourth chapter of Matthew. His first, you know, I think he does a miracle, and then he's taken out into the wilderness, and he is tempted there by Satan. He stays there for 40 days. He hasn't eaten. He's just maybe had some water. And in that weakened condition, Satan just pulls out his arsenal of temptations and pours them out on Jesus Christ. And so Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted by Satan. Now, there wasn't an internal struggle within Jesus like there is within us. We have this conflict deep within us.
Right.
Our flesh wants to latch on to those temptations. That wasn't the case with Jesus, but he still experienced them. He experienced the external source of those temptations. So he knows them, and he also knows the full strength of those temptations. He never gave in. We give in to temptations. So as far as Satan is concerned with us, he just has to bring out the conventional weapons. With Jesus, he had to bring out the entire arsenal, the atomic stuff, the nuclear stuff, and Jesus felt that. Yet he never gave in. He was without sin. So does Jesus know how we feel? The answer is yes, he does. He knows exactly those temptations that we experience in life. And he knows also that there's a way out, and that's through abiding in him, just as he abided in his Father.
Yeah.
When he was tempted, he said, "Don't test the Lord." He relied upon the word of God, and he relied upon the strength of his Father to push him through those temptations. Mm-hmm. He set an example for us. We do likewise. We abide in Christ. We rest in his power to move us through the temptations of life.
Absolutely. Well, calls beginning to come in, but still plenty of room for you. Time on the clock as well. 844-32-BASIC. Give us a call. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Let's go to Yonkers and talk with Don, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Don.
How you doing, Bob and Rob? Man, it's just when you talk about who is Jesus to me, or who is Jesus to you, man, he is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The way, the truth, the life, the God of all power, is the God of all truth, and the God of all power has given us the name for truth. The name for truth is the wonderful name of Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
Incomparable.
Yes.
If you want to hear a good sermon, look up Lockridge, Shadrach, Meshach, Lockridge, and listen to his sermon on who Jesus is.
Yeah.
It is phenomenal who he is.
S.M. Lockridge was one of the great pastors of the 20th century, and he just knows how to speak the name of Jesus in such a powerful, powerful way. Don, I've listened to quite a number of his sermons. I go back and re-listen and am encouraged every time I do. But But as SM will say, and as people throughout history have said, there is something about that name. Yep. You cannot hear the name of Jesus without being moved in one way or another. Yep. He is not a neutral character. He is not a neutral figure in history.
And we as men of valor, men that stand in that truth and live in that truth, we have to stand up and we have to go out into the agora and help our young people. The reason why we have this situation going on, it looks like the 1960s all over again with burning and looting, is because the men of God, the men of valor, are not getting out there, and we in the communities of color know that we have to clean up our acts. The only way to clean up your acts is with the word of God that cleanses your acts. So men, I encourage you, men of valor is what you're supposed to be. Let's go out. Let's engage with our young people and show them who the real men are, that we are the men of God. Thank you for your courtesy, John. Well said, indeed.
Don. Thank you for those encouraging words, and thank you for your passion for Jesus Christ. It is obvious that he has taken hold of your heart, of your life, and has become your very life as a child of God. Well, thanks for jumping on with us, Don. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
Let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Eugene, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hello, good afternoon to my fellow co-workers in Christ. How are you brothers doing today?
Doing most excellent, thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Great, great. I just wanted to say Jesus to me is God and the Trinity. And I just want to say I believe that Scripture would have said more, but the people at the time was not ready to accept that. Like when Jesus told them about I am before Abraham. The people picked up stones ready to stone him. So what that prevented us today to truly understand who he was in Scripture, but we receive it today. But at that time, they were ready to stone him. So that's why we don't have so much on the Trinity today, because they were not ready to accept his words when he did say these things to them. What do you think about that?
Well, they had ears, but they weren't hearing. They had eyes, they weren't seeing. That's what we know to be true about the people of that day. There were a few that actually saw Jesus and believed Jesus for who he was. I love the story at Caesarea Philippi when Jesus asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter stood up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You did not come to this information by normal human ways. The Father revealed this truth to you." And the truth about Jesus has to be revealed to us. The truth that he is the way, the truth, and the life is a spiritual reality that requires spiritual revelation. That's why God has sent his Spirit here to give us understanding of Jesus. So many people hear the words, but they miss the message concerning Christ. And that's where the Holy Spirit actually brings understanding to us as far as he is concerned. So Jesus is God, and Eugene, that truth was revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, and anyone else who says with their mouth, confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, they do so at the unction of God's Spirit.
Praise God. You brothers have a nice day. Thank you.
Thanks, Eugene.
You as well. Thank you, Eugene.
Good from you.
Well, let's go back to New York and talk to Joaquin. Hi, Joaquin. Welcome.
Hi, how are you guys? God bless you.
Thank you.
To you as well.
I had a quick question. I had one time in a Bible class, the pastor of the class said that we were not supposed to be cremated. Rather that we have to get that we have to have a traditional burial, like in a coffin under the ground, and he wasn't able to give me any biblical support for it, and I was wondering what the word says on that issue.
Well, Joaquin, that's a wonderful question, and certainly with the expense of burial today, cremation has become more of an option, just a financial option. It's a cheaper way to dispose of a body, and many people go that route because that's the route that they can afford. But with that, questions arise. What does the Word of God have to say about cremation? And the Word of God doesn't say anything about it, does it, Richard?
It doesn't say anything, nothing at all. But it does say something very important, and whether it's burial or cremation or anything else, flesh and blood, as we know it, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Everybody has to be changed, whether they've died physically or are alive when Jesus comes. We're all going to be changed. So whatever this body is going away, one way or the other.
Right. I mean, even somebody that's buried.
Yes.
I mean, we could exhume some bodies that have been in the ground for a long time, and all you're going to find are bones.
Yeah.
Or dust. It returns back to the dust. So we're going to get a brand. We're going to get a brand new body. Now, as far as tradition is concerned, Christians have buried in anticipation of the new body that was going to come out of those graves. But we know that God's work in that regard doesn't require us to do certain things. He is going to give us brand new bodies. Of that we are guaranteed. So I think knowing that, we can decide whether we want to bury a body or cremate a body and be okay either way.
Okay. Thank you very much. That cleared up that.
Well, you're welcome, Joaquin. Thanks for raising that question today. We appreciate it. Well, let's go to Queens and talk to our good friend Gil. Hi, Gil.
Hello, Gil.
Gil, you're on the air. Well, let's put Gil on hold, and let's try Anthony in Long Island. Hi, Anthony. You're on the air. Anthony, you're on the air.
Yes, hello?
There he is.
Yeah, welcome. What's on your mind today?
Everything's beautiful. How are you?
We're doing fantastic.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
I was calling because, you know, I want to say, you know, when you ask the question, you know, who is Jesus? You know, and I strongly and truly believe that, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. You know, that when you truly accept Him and you confess Him with your mouth, that you truly are saved. You know, He's done amazing things in my life that I never thought I would believe. You know, as a young child, I never really believed in any faith. I never had faith in anything. I guess you could say I kind of strongly was basically atheist. And you know, when you really hit the rock bottoms in life, and you know, you hit the pits, that's when you realize that He does come into your life. You know, you really he comes when you're right at your low, when you least expect it.
That's what we call grace, Anthony. When you least expect it, God shows up in the person of Christ Jesus and saves you. That's what He did in my life. That's what He did in your life. And then when He saves you, He comes to live inside of you. He's with you always. And that is the good news of the gospel, that He brings us into His presence, or He actually comes into our presence and lives inside of us through His Spirit. And boy, that is a blessing beyond all blessings. No matter what life throws our way, God will never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what life throws our way, we can be comforted by Him in the midst of those circumstances and can truly experience peace regardless of life's trials and tribulations. That's called grace.
Amen. Definitely is.
Yeah. Well, Anthony, thanks for joining us today. We sure appreciate it.
In just a moment, we're going to talk to Manfred in Yonkers, New York. But, friends, we love hearing from you. And when you write or call to offer a word of encouragement, it truly is an encouragement. We appreciate hearing from each one of you who's given to keep Basic Gospel on the air. You know, together, we have a marvelous privilege of being ambassadors for Jesus Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5. Together with you, it's our hope to keep the good news of His love, grace, and life coming on the airwaves and online. And if you've supported Basic Gospel in the past, well, thank you for your partnership. If you've not had that opportunity yet to give in support of this ministry, we ask you to become a partner with us right now. We need your generous support at this time. You'll find a support link in the header at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC. We would love to hear from you today.
Yes, we would. And as I mentioned yesterday, December is a very important month for Basic Gospel. 25% of our revenue comes in during this month. Yeah. So it is very important. And we have about $300,000 that we still need to meet our goals and expectations. And that will put us in a great position to start 2015. Yeah. There are so many opportunities. I was just reviewing some of our outreach today and looking at how God is using this program through the internet. You know, through our partnership with oneplace.com, mm-hmm. we've reached people in all 50 states, and we've reached people in 121 countries
That's
around
amazing.
The world.
Just amazing.
It is quite amazing to see the impact of this ministry. And I looked at our most listened to broadcast. And those broadcasts were about being filled with the Spirit, mm-hmm. breaking free from fear, shame, and guilt, and the unpardonable sin. Those are things that really give rise to the very basic, most important human needs that we all have. It doesn't matter the country that we're from. It doesn't matter our ethnicity. It doesn't matter any of those things. We are all wanting to know if we can break free. We want to know how to break free from guilt and shame and fear. We want to know if we're okay in God's sight. Mm-hmm. We want to know if there's a meaningful and purposeful life that we can live.
Beautiful to us, yeah.
And all of those are answered by the gospel. These basic, most important human needs are answered by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God is using this ministry to answer those human needs in people all around the world.
Yeah.
So come and be a part of what God is doing. Pray for Basic Gospel. If you can, give to Basic Gospel. Your gifts will overflow with thanksgiving in the lives of many people all around the world.
Absolutely. Again, you'll find a support link in the header at basicgospel.net, or speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC.
Let's go and talk with Gil in Queens. Hi, Gil.
Hi, Christopher. God bless you.
And to you as well. Welcome.
Welcome, as always. I wanted to talk a little bit about the issue of Advent, which I appreciate that some traditions celebrate it. And one of the verses that I wanted to touch upon, and a few others, is James 1:17, that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, but does not change like the shifting shadows. And then I think of going back, you know, the first coming of Jesus, you know, it talks about that in Isaiah 53:5, that it says, by his stripes we are healed. And John 6:51, Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. So we have the first coming of Christ, and then we have the second coming of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ, where we're reunited with him. But I was just wondering if you could touch upon the issue of Advent, which is a beautiful thing that some traditions celebrate.
Well, it is a beautiful thing that many traditions celebrate, and really it's just the celebration of the birth of Christ, his appearance on planet Earth, and what that means to us. Just as the angels announced to the shepherds that his birth was glad tidings, was good news, that would be joy to all the people. That's what we celebrate. Jesus is joy for us. Why? Because he saved us from our sins and he's come to live with us. That is the good news of the gospel. And all of that started, God had announced it and it was his plan even before he created anything. But it was executed in the incarnation when Jesus became one of us so that he could die for us, be raised back to life, so that we could have everlasting life. Well, Gil, thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate always hearing from you.
Absolutely. And thanks to everybody for joining us today. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again on Monday after a wonderful weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.